Dr. Rachel Rubin, co-lead and senior medical officer, Cook County Department of Public Health, and Israel Rocha, our CEO for Cook County Health. Earlier this year, we'd hoped that we were on a path to finally put the pandemic behind us. But unfortunately, what we're seeing on the ground today is a quite different story. With the dual threat presented by the Delta and Omicron variants, and with cases, hospitalizations, and deaths rising to new heights across Cook County, we must once again reassess and realign our strategies with what science is telling us. And we must do what's necessary to protect our communities. That's why, beginning January 3rd, in lockstep with the City of Chicago, proof of vaccination will now be required of customers of indoor venues most at risk for spreading COVID. And as you'll hear more in a moment from our health leaders, we're also asking businesses to continue to partner with us by posting signage about the new mitigations at every entrance of their building and prominently within their facility. Now, we know that these measures won't be a simple or easy lift, and we want to do everything we can to assist our friends and neighbors who own restaurants, bars, fitness and entertainment venues with their adjustment to the change. That's why we'll be hosting a webinar in the coming days to help folks get up to speed with how to comply with the new order. Know that we're committed to being there to discuss your options, answer your questions, and provide you with helpful science-based information. Look out for more info on that soon. And while we know this is not easy, we also know that this is a responsible and necessary step in our fight against COVID-19. We can't take the virus for granted. We know that the vaccinated, particularly those with booster shots, are faring much better against Omicron. And so-called breakthrough cases are proving much milder than the more serious cases, that is, hospitalizations and deaths of the unvaccinated. That's why it's so critical in this moment, especially, to get vaccinated. If it's been over 6 months since you had your last shot, get your booster as soon as you are able. Now, we're also urging folks to take extra precautions throughout the upcoming holidays. The surge is happening now. That's why, vaccinated or not, we need to do what's necessary to protect ourselves and our families right now. That's masking, keeping our distance, and washing hands. And if you're feeling sick or test positive, for heaven's sake, stay home. These are difficult decisions, but the science leaves us no choice. And the science points to the fact that it will take all of us to beat COVID-19. People of all backgrounds, races, ethnicities, and faiths getting vaccinated and taking common sense precautions to stop the spread of the virus. We appreciate your partnership, and we know that we'll all do what's needed to put this chapter behind us. Thank you. And now I would ask Dr. Kiran Joshi to say a few words.
Thank you, Madam President. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to begin here by just sharing some data to provide context to the new mitigations that we're announcing this morning. At this point, I think everyone is aware of the Omicron variant of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. We've been seeing significant increases across the United States. And really around the world. And so here you can see a series of graphs that show in the blue line, the estimated cases of Delta variant and compared to the Omicron variant in the orange line with that very steep slope and rapid rise. And if you were to look closely at that, you could see that cases are doubling essentially 2 to 3 days, day after day. And that pattern seems to have held true wherever we've seen the spread of Omicron. So looking a little bit more closely at the United States here, CDC recently released data estimating that across the US, Omicron now very quickly was making up about 73% of cases across the country. And you can see that in that purple as compared to the orange for Delta in the bar on the right side of this graph. Looking a little bit more closely at our region, you can see from the pie graph, from the pie charts across this map of the United States, that in purple, in the region of states around Lake Michigan there, including Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, that Omicron is making up north of 90% of cases in our region. Now, we don't have local level or state level data as yet, but I'm going to get to why we believe that Omicron is making up the majority of cases in our jurisdiction and in Cook County shortly. Before I do that, I just want to point out that at this point, we're at a case rate of about 548 per 100,000 and a test positivity of 7.8%. And to give you some more context, these numbers are beginning to mirror what we were seeing a year ago with the last surge that we experienced in the winter. So this is a graph of the number of cases over time. And you can see very clearly, if you look on the right side of this graph, that we really are in the midst of a surge that again compares to that last winter surge. But furthermore, that the surge of Delta that we experienced between July and October never really ended. It never came down to that baseline that you see back in July. So this is really a surge on top of a surge, and now we've got Omicron on top of that. And that's evidenced by the really rapid rise in cases that we've seen over time. And really, the thing that we are most concerned about is demonstrated here with a graph of the number of admissions that we're seeing for COVID over time. So again, the numbers that we're seeing.
Just a second, Dr. Joshi. I would ask if you're not speaking, if you could mute yourself. We're hearing a lot of background noise, kids actually, which makes it hard to hear Dr. Joshi's presentation. So thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. So again, hospitalizations over time here, and the short story is really that we're concerned about the impact that this surge is having on our hospitalizations. And I know Mr. Rocha could speak to that quite eloquently. So, you know, over time, we have seen increased in vaccination rates in response to some of our efforts, some of the work being done at the local level by communities, and certainly more recently. We are now at 77% coverage of the total vaccination with one dose, and nearly 60% with two doses. So I think this is certainly a lot of protection that we've got across our population, but clearly also a lot of work to be done. This is another way of thinking about vaccination in terms of a map of our communities. And you can see the general pattern is that we've got higher rates of coverage in the north suburbs, lower rates in the south suburbs. We know that this is due to a mix of very justifiable hesitancy on the part of communities of color around medical interventions, again, due to historical factors, along with challenges with access to healthcare in general. And so our health department has really worked to bridge that gap through a hyperlocal initiative, working very closely with partners on the ground across suburban Cook County, but focused on our most under-vaccinated communities in particular. So again, a similar pattern here with booster doses. And finally, I just want to comment that for anyone who's interested in hosting a vaccination event, please go to our website, vaccine.cookcountyil.gov. You can submit a request for a community vaccination clinic by clicking on the organization sign up button in the upper right-hand corner. If you or a friend or a loved one requires a vaccination at your home because you happen to be homebound, click on the in-home vaccination button and we will have someone come come to your home and get you vaccinated. And also finally, just want to close by saying that we are thinking about barriers to vaccination in many different ways. If you are interested in getting vaccinated but just don't have transportation, call our vaccine hotline, 833-308-1988, and we will connect you to a transportation provider to bring you to a vaccine appointment. So I'm going to close my comments and presentation here and turn it over to my co-lead, Dr. Rachel Rubin. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Joshi. So my job today is to outline for you all the new mitigation order that we are putting in place that will go into effect January 3rd. For context, this order is in very close alignment with the City of Chicago's order that will also go into effect January 3rd. And to reiterate that our jurisdiction includes all areas of suburban Cook County, except for Skokie, Evanston, Oak Park, and Stickney Township, as they have their own certified health departments and would need to promulgate their own orders. So this covers the rest of suburban Cook County. So what this new order established, COVID-19 mitigation order number 2021-11, meant to still keep in place the masking mandate that was put in place this summer. So this one continues to maintain that mask mandate for all individuals in public spaces indoors, whether you are vaccinated or not. In addition, this order speaks about focusing on indoor settings where food or drink are served for on-premises consumption, as well as health and fitness centers, whether they have juice bars or food or beverage available or not. So businesses will be required, must require any individual 5 years old of age or older, because these are the people that have authorized vaccination available, and they must show proof that they are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 before being allowed to enter the premises of these establishments. And fully vaccinated at this point, it goes with the CDC definition, which at this point means two vaccines of either the Moderna or Pfizer, or one dose of the J&J, Johnson & Johnson, with that additional 2 weeks after that last dose. If the CDC definition changes in the future to include the booster shots as being the definition of fully vaccinated, then this order will cover the booster at that point. But right now, fully vaccinated does not include booster. And businesses must, in addition, require patrons age 16 years old and older to show additional identification in addition to their vaccination proof. And that could be a driver's license, a passport, a government ID, a worker school ID. It does not need to be a picture ID, because we know some individuals do not have that available, but something that proves who they are and that it matches the information on the vaccination card in terms of their name and other demographic information. Businesses are also going to be required to post signage advising patrons of this vaccine requirement. And it must be posted at all entrances to the premises, as well as prominently posted in an area visible to patrons and staff within the establishment as well. We will have template signage available on our website for download later today. So you can go to cookcountypublichealth.org and we will have that signage available to make it easier for premises, for establishments to download that signage if they do not want to make their own. And employees, in addition, employees must be vaccinated or they have an opt-out with showing proof of a negative COVID-19 test on a weekly basis. We do not recommend this. We hope that all employers are requiring their employees to be vaccinated. However, for those employees that are not vaccinated, either because they are allergic to the vaccine or they have chosen not to be vaccinated, they do have the ability to test on a weekly basis and provide that testing results to their employer on a weekly basis. Businesses must develop a written protocol providing details of how they will enforce this order, including how they keep track of their employees that have not been vaccinated and are testing weekly. To clarify, indoor settings where food and drink are served for on-premise consumption and health fitness centers include, but are not limited to, indoor dining establishments. And so that's bars or breweries or wine tasting rooms, private clubs, public banquet halls, individual event spaces that are rented out for just a day or two. If they are serving food or drink, they must provide, they must require vaccine documentation. This also includes if there is a little cafe inside a bookstore or a juice bar in a grocery store. So these things, food courts and food halls. So all of these places are required to have vaccine as a requirement for entry, as long as they have a seated area that it's not just pickup. The point being is that any place that has food and drink requires people to remove their masks. So any place that requires mask removal where food and drink are involved must require vaccination for entry into that establishment. Event spaces, including hotel ballrooms and commercial event and party venues, are also included in this. So in a hotel, for example, if there's a conference going on and there's no food or drink being offered inside a large ballroom that is used for a conference, you do not need to provide vaccine documentation. But if a luncheon is required, is being offered for that conference, even in another room, then at that point, yes, you have to require vaccination documentation for anybody who is going to be eating and removing their masks. Also, recreation and entertainment venues in areas where food or beverage are served is also covered under this order. So that includes movie theaters, live performance spaces, including live music and theater, sports arenas, skating rinks, adult entertainment venues, arcades, bowling alleys, play spaces, et cetera. All of these places where food and drink are likely to be served, you must provide, you must require vaccine documentation. All indoor settings for recreation and exercise, whether there is food or drink offered or not, must require this vaccination documentation. So that includes health clubs, gyms, fitness centers, hotel fitness rooms, recreation centers, yoga studios, CrossFit studios, cycling studios, field houses, dance studios, boxing studios, gyms, other facilities that conduct group fitness classes indoors must require vaccination. And all sport participants playing indoors on teams should continue to follow the Illinois Department of Public Health sports and safety guidance. And there is a link to that guidance in our order. So all businesses also should comply with OSHA standards relating to employee vaccination status and testing, regardless of the number of their employees, and also must be abiding to the upcoming OSHA order that will be standard, that will be in place in early January. So there are a couple of carve-outs exemptions, and those are individuals entering an establishment for less than 10 minutes for the purposes of ordering and carrying out food, making a delivery, so the delivery person does not have to show proof of vaccination, though we hope that they have been vaccinated, and also for using the restroom facilities. So if you're in and out of an establishment that is a food or drink establishment, but you have a mask on that entire time, and it's for a brief period of time, you do not have to show proof of vaccination. This also extends to non-resident performing artists and professional athletes and persons accompanying them, because they are covered under strict standards according to their either collective bargaining agreements or leagues that regulate the sports, as well as the state guidance for school children and sports. Another exemption is an individual 18 years of age or younger who enters a business subject to this order to participate in a school activity or after school program, because that is covered under the school protocols under the Illinois State Board of Education and the Illinois Department of Public Health that we adhere to at our health department. Other exemptions include houses of worship are exempt, and schools are exempt, and indoor locations in a residential or office building that's limited to residents, owners, or tenants of that building, not a party room in a building where outside individuals will be participating in that activity. Then there needs to be proof of vaccination. And finally, charitable food service establishments such as soup kitchens are exempt from this order, but we know that these places are being extremely careful. I'm going to stop there and open it up for questions.
Great. We ask that you leave your questions in the chat, and we ask that you specify who you're addressing the question to. So we have one from WGN Radio for Dr. Rubin. Will digital cards, card photocopies, and photographs on telephones be allowed for entry into businesses?
Absolutely, and this is laid out in the order. So in brief, a CDC COVID vaccination record card is obviously acceptable. A photocopy of it on your phone is acceptable. An official immunization record from a jurisdiction, state, or country where the vaccination was administered is acceptable. If it's put into an app, such as the Clear app or another one, that is also acceptable. And a digital or physical photo of such a card or record, or a record of vaccination that's provided, for example, on your MyChart, if you had it done in a doctor's office, that is all acceptable.
Excellent, thank you. The next question is from Alice Yen of the Tribune. I will direct it to the doctors, Dr. Joshi or Dr. Rubin. How will enforcement work? Will it be immediate citations, or will you ease into it with warnings? And who is doing the enforcement?
Yeah, I'll start with this one and Dr. Joshi can fill in the gaps. Our Environmental Health Services unit as part of the Cook County Department of Public Health. These are the workers, we call them sanitarians, that go into restaurants regularly and swimming pools, et cetera, and do inspections, have been additionally deployed to do this enforcement work. We will be responding to complaints of violations from this order, and they will be investigating these complaints, either through an initial phone call to the management of the facility, and also sending out a notice to the individual village or municipality where this establishment is located for that village to take appropriate inspection action. We will indeed be, I don't know if we would call it easing into it, but what we have been doing up until the present with our inspections and mitigation enforcement is that we reach out, either we do or the village reaches out to that establishment and asks them if what the issues are related to compliance, and we work with them to help them with appropriate technical support so that they can comply. And there will be no fines issued or put forth to the state's attorney for an administrative hearing at that point. If there are repeat offenders where we keep having continual complaints from an individual establishment, we then will potentially forward that to the appropriate legal authorities, which in this case is the state's attorney's office.
Dr. Joshi, would you like to add to the answer? Okay. We'll move on to the next question from Jonah Meadows. Will businesses be able to verify the cards, printouts, and images they have been presented? And if so, how?
I don't think there's any verification that's required. To some degree, we are taking people at their word in terms of the documentation that they provide.
Excellent, thank you. Michelle Gallardo of ABC7 has a question for the president. What do you say to business owners who say they fully support anything they can do to keep people safe, but are uncomfortable, quote, hiring bouncers to tell and decide who gets in and who doesn't?
Well, I think that our healthcare professionals, Dr. Rubin and Dr. Joshi, have made it quite clear that we're in the midst of a healthcare crisis and everyone has to row. We're asking business people to help us keep everyone safe and to keep their businesses open. We had a period in this country in which we closed businesses. Frankly, I don't think any of us want to be at that point again. And if we don't want to be at that point, we need to do everything we can to ensure that people who come into our establishments are protected against the virus. And that means checking identification, checking vaccination status.
Excellent, thank you. Another question for President Preckwinkle from WGN News, Chip Brewster at WGN TV. Is there any data on the percentage of those who are unvaccinated that are still considering getting the vaccine? At what point do these measures only punish versus encourage vaccinations? Thank you.
Well, first of all, let me just say, we looked at how to encourage people to get vaccinated. And what we discovered is that the most effective testimonies about the importance of vaccination come from our healthcare professionals. And hopefully you've seen the campaigns that we've been running, both in print media and on TV and on digital devices, having our doctors talk about how important vaccination is. It's the Trust Us campaign. And I'm very flattered that the good people in New York apparently liked our campaign so much that they did one themselves. But we have tried every way we can to encourage people to be vaccinated. So I talk about it all the time. But as I said, what we've discovered is the most effective testimonies come from our physicians, from our healthcare professionals. And so we've engaged our healthcare professionals to message the importance of vaccination.
Excellent. Next question is from Stephen. It's from Stephen Miller. He asks, why not require vaccination proof this week before Christmas and New Year's?
I think that the answer is that we're doing our best to give people time to determine how they need to comply. And I would ask, we'll start with Dr. Rubin, and then maybe Dr. Joshi wants to climb in. Chime in, I think is the word I want, not climb in. Chime in as well. Go ahead, Dr. Rubin.
Yes, thank you. we are encouraging, businesses to reconsider large New Year's Eve and party events over the holiday season. But this is not being mandated at this point because it is taking a period of time for these individual establishments to stand up their policies to make sure that they're doing them right. And there are legal considerations from their end, as well as logistical considerations in terms of training staff and how to do this safely and effectively. But with that in mind, we do not encourage large gatherings over the holidays, especially with unvaccinated individuals. And we urge businesses to reconsider large parties and gatherings in their spaces, as well as obviously wanting to understand that people need to wash their hands, maintain the 6-foot distance, and wear the masks at all times when you're not eating or drinking in these establishments. But overall in the holiday period is to wear your masks when at all possible. And we also are suggesting that people test a couple of days before they gather with others. And then on the night before the morning of that gathering, whether it's in a restaurant or a holiday venue, And that should keep us sufficiently safe until this, and then hopefully January 3rd, then this proof of vaccination will then go into effect.
I concur with my colleague. The requirement goes into effect on January 3rd. For those businesses that would like to adopt this policy sooner, there's no reason not to, and we certainly would highly encourage that.
Great. Thank you, doctors. Amethyst Davis has a question. Are there any plans to work with people of color business owners in communities with low vaccine hesitancy and or low vaccination rates who may be concerned about the new mitigation measures?
So just in terms of education and training, we do plan to hold a webinar on Monday, as Madam President stated earlier. That's going to be done to educate business owners and respond to any questions that they may have. With respect to businesses in communities of color, businesses owned by people of color, we will certainly do outreach to them through the same community-based organizations that we're working with in the 11 communities that I mentioned earlier. We're very sensitive to that and the need to, you know, provide additional resources where they're most needed.
Great, thank you. Alice Yin of the Tribune has a question for the doctors. Not all mayors were happy with the previous restrictions, such as the indoor dining ban, and some have even tried to sue the governor over mitigations. Are you worried they will not cooperate with this enforcement?
We want to provide as much information as we can to impacted, affected businesses so that they can comply. We hope that people will comply. It's in their interest. It's in the interest of their customers and clients that they comply. You know, there's no way to ensure 100% compliance, but we're going to provide information so people know how to comply. We're going to be following that up with visits from our healthcare professionals when there are complaints. And I'm hopeful that the large majority, the overwhelming majority of those businesses that are in these categories will comply. I can't prevent people from suing me as they have sued the governor. These suits have been unsuccessful, and I anticipate any subsequent suits will be unsuccessful as well. I think that's sufficient unless our public health people want to respond as well. Okay.
Thank you, President Breckwinkle. The next question is for President Breckwinkle from Stephen Miller. He asks, are there any plans to add more testing sites over the holidays?
I would ask I ask Israel to respond and then our healthcare folks from public health. Israel Rocha is our chief executive officer of Cook County Health.
Hi, just checking the time. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. Pleasure to be with you. We are currently right now operating testing locations at all of our ambulatory care sites, as well as our Strozier and our Provident hospitals. We are in discussions with the state to see what we can do as a system to be able to augment testing. As you know, right now, testing is an all-time high. Probably more testing has happened this week than at any point previous in the pandemic. And that's good, because the way that you can protect those that you love and those around you is to know your status. And so we encourage everyone to please get tested and to make sure that they know their status. There's going to be a lot of programs from home testing availability, as well as additional testing. So hopefully in the next few days, we will have more information about additional testing resources that are available. Right now, our current sites remain available and you get information on our website, and we'll be able to provide more information after this call on those times and locations, but they remain available, both testing and vaccination availability at our sites. And we will hope to also be bringing aboard more locations where individuals can get vaccinations. We had a great program that started. We expanded hours on Sundays in partnership with the state. It had very good feedback, and we're going to be expanding more locations for vaccination in the next few days.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Rocha. Either of the doctors, would you like to add anything? Okay. The next question goes from Joe Coughlin of the Record North Shore. He asks, are there any thoughts on how long the order will be in effect or what officials need to see in terms of metrics and data to remove it?
I think the short answer is that it's hard to predict what the impact of Omicron will be or subsequent variants. So at the moment, we're instituting these restrictions. And believe me, we will remove them as we are able. But at the moment, what we see is Omicron overwhelming us. So that's where we are at the moment.
To add is to say that we are looking at these metrics very carefully. We look at them every day. But we will be reevaluating this order, you know, on a weekly basis. And the kinds of things that drive it are, you know, as President Preckwinkle, you know, alluded to, is that, you know, as we see such a huge, incredible rise and peak of cases, we need to have these mitigations in place. And also our hospitals are being stretched very thin right now. So we would need to see improvements in those metrics. We would need to see significant lowering in the number of new cases we're seeing each day, and our hospitals and other healthcare facilities not being stretched to the limit as they are right now.
Great, thank you, Dr. Rubin. One question from Stephen Miller for the doctors. He's wondering, what do you think about Israel's contemplation of a fourth dose? How soon might we be doing the same thing?
I'd simply say that, you know, on this, we follow guidance from CDC, whatever that may be. And so as soon as that guidance changed, we would follow suit.
All right. Are there any other questions, Tom?
I don't see any, so I think we might be set. I will tell the reporters on the line that we will be sending more information. Obviously, information about the webinar will be forthcoming, and also some of the materials that we are producing for businesses. We are creating those in both English and Spanish. So we will have those probably at some point today posted on the website, and we will let you know when those are available as well. So I don't see any questions. I want to thank President Preckwinkle, Mr. Rocha, thank you for joining us. Of course, Dr. Joshi and Rubin. If you have any questions throughout the day, feel free to reach out to me and I will take care of that. So thank you, everybody. I wish all of you a happy holidays, and hopefully we all get some rest and then some relief. So have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Listen, all of you, I want to wish you, those of you who celebrate Christmas, a Merry Christmas, and those the rest of us who all celebrate the New Year, I wish you all the best in the year to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you all.